Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill, the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. Today is Tuesday, December 29th, 2020. This is edition number 56. This morning we're going to begin the closing chapter, the final chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. We're going to focus probably just on verse 1 because it's one of the most misunderstood verses in the entire Bible, or at least, if not the most misunderstood verse in the entire Bible. It's often used by well-meaning Christians, but it's often used wrongly. And so let's pray together first, and then we'll just briefly look at this verse this morning. Father, as we come to your word, we would pray that you'd help us, that you'd give us grace and strength, mercy and kindness. As we seek to understand the Spirit, as we read these words, we pray that they would inform us, they would teach us, they would edify us and encourage us. We pray that you'd help us, that you'd help all of your people, wherever they may be, some hurting, struggling with various issues, some dealing with circumstances that are hard to bear. We pray that you might be merciful to them, as you've promised to be, that you indeed would give grace to them. We pray that you'd be with your church as we close out this year and as we await a new year that you have ordered for us. We pray that your church would be perfected, beautified, cleansed, purified, that she would be a people of your own possession. And so help us now, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, just the first verse. We read there, "Judge not that ye be not judged." Now, this verse has undergone so much abuse over the spectrum, over the course of church history, and it's probably pointless for me to tell you just how badly this verse has been used. I have had this verse used against me as a pastor multiple times by well-meaning people, and I'm sure at some point in your life you have also received the abuse of this verse by other well-meaning people. If not, you maybe haven't lived long enough yet, but hang on, because eventually it will show up, especially when you seek to correct a brother or sister in the Lord on any matter that may befall them. People will often take this verse and they will tell you that Jesus says you're not allowed to judge other people, because that's what it says. Judge not, lest ye be judged. So Jesus is clearly teaching us that we can never make a judgment about another person's behavior, character, or otherwise. If that's what he's saying, then Jesus himself, doesn't make any sense as we continue reading even down through verse 6 where he says, "Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs." Now there's a judgment. Don't give dogs what is holy. You've made an assessment, you've rendered a particular judgment about them, and Jesus would say, don't give it to them. Don't give what is holy to these people. Don't cast your pearls before swine, as it were, a judgment. I'm really sorry about that. Someone was trying to call me. Later in the same book, in the same gospel, in Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 15, we read, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone." Now, again, what is required, of course, is that we must make an assessment. They've offended me in some capacity. They've done some wrong to me. And I need to go and speak with them, tell them his fault privately. It goes on to explain more about the matter of church discipline in that same passage. In Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul tells God's people there how to act when there's a fault. Verse 1 of Galatians 6, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." Now, in order to do that, I need to make a judgment. I need to make a righteous judgment. And that's the issue. We don't just willy-nilly judge with get on our high horse and start condemning other people because we think we've arrived. That's not the issue at all. The issue, of course, here for what Jesus is communicating is that we recognize our own fallenness. We recognize that we are too are sinners, but we make righteous judgment as it relates to what others are doing. One commentator states it like this: Jesus prohibits one kind of judging, but approves a different kind. Condemning others for their faults is failure to exercise forgiveness. Only a gentle and humble criticism that first recognizes one's own greater faults can help. There is also a necessary, discerning kind of judgment that does not condemn, but distinguishes unbelief from belief. This method of discernment is given in verse 16 of chapter 7, where we read, "You will recognize them by their fruits." And so as we witness people in the world or in the church, we witness them, we recognize them by their fruits. We're making a judgment about their lives. Now, later in the same passage, Jesus goes on and talks about the speck that's in your eye and the log, you know, the speck that's in your brother's eye and the log that's in your own. Here, Jesus is warning us, he is telling us very candidly that we must always be mindful of the fact that we too are sinful people. Now, we haven't lived a perfect day in our lives. We sin daily in thought, word, and deed, and sometimes people come across like they've arrived holier than thou. And okay, I get all that. It happens because people are sinners. And even if they're what they're saying is right, they don't always say it the nicest way. They don't always say it the most gentle way they could. And okay, fine. But what we must remember as we make assessment of others, as we are being discerning, is that we too are fallen creatures. And so Jesus says, hey, look, you know what? Don't be a hypocrite about this. In other words, if you too are engaged in some sin and not dealing with it, not repenting of it, and then you're going to go tell your brother or sister about some sin, well, that's just stinks of hypocrisy. You know, get the beam out of your own eye before you go to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I wouldn't subject myself to a blind surgeon. Why would I subject myself to a misguided brother who can't see 5 inches from his own face? And so Jesus would say, just be mindful of the fact that you two are sinners. And so recognize these matters. He does not prohibit righteous judgment in this passage, contrary to what well-meaning Christians will tell you. I read a meme or a quote on social media once that people who tell me not to judge are basically telling me to leave them alone so they can sin in peace. And oftentimes that is the case. People want to be left alone so they can sin in peace. They don't want to be reminded of their obligations as Christians to live a godly life. In fact, if Jesus was here prohibiting judging of any kind, nobody could stand in a pulpit and preach the gospel to anybody. It'd be impossible because you'd be judging. You'd be making a judgment. You're making a discerning statement about people's lives. So clearly, that is not the issue here at all. It is about righteous judgment, careful, lacking in with authenticity, with genuineness, with care, recognizing the responsibility even you have as a Christian to help others. And so two lessons here to remember. First, Jesus is not prohibiting judgment. He's prohibiting hypocrisy in judging. He's not prohibiting righteous judgment. Second, he is warning those who would confront others to be mindful of their own lives, to be mindful of that beam that might be sticking out of their own eye as they go to remove the speck from their brother's eye. And a way to deal with that, of course, is to spend much time in prayer before you render a verdict or render a judgment or go and confront a brother. You should never, ever, ever sit down with a brother or sister and point out their faults, as it were, without having prayed about it extensively. Now, that's just some pastoral advice. You can take it for what it's worth, but I would strongly encourage it. It helps frame the discussion as well as your own heart, which is prone to sin as well. And so these are hard things. They're hard to do. And as fallen creatures, we blow it often on this point. But let's labor as God's people in our righteous judging to do so carefully, gently, with pastoral care and love, prayerfully, and having the whole thing bathed in an attitude of prayer. I trust these times are a blessing for you. I hope they are. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to drop me a note. The information is there before you. Until the next edition, I trust the Lord will bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. God bless.